Translation? Discorder Magazine's March issue is coming in like a lion, but it's not going out like a lamb. The issue is hitting the streets at its over 100 distribution spots, made possible by our fearless advertisers, The Rickshaw, Mint Records, Timber Concerts, Blueprint Events, The Rio Theater, The Cinematheque Theater, Massey Books, and the Alma Mater Society. If you prowl around Van, you'll be able to read up on Man Up Vancouver, its wild success and 10-year anniversary celebration, an interview with Shindig's majestic winner Mama Rudgau, how the Poetry is Bad for You reading series captures your soul, a poem submission by cherished Cree Métis writer Samantha Nock, and, of course, a full harvest of album, podcast, and book reviews and live show reviews of local bands. Translation, forever local, forever free, always salty.
Yeah, hey, okay, black, 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 black on black, black, my thoughts so black, black, black on black, my skin is so black, I'm rocking that black on black is black.
Black rims on these black wheels in this black whip with this black bitch, black, so black on black on black on black on
black, 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 black on black, black, my thoughts so black, black, black on black, my skin is so black, I'm rocking all black, everything is black.
Black rims on these black wheels in this black whip with this black bitch, black, 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 so black, black, black on black on black on black on.
Hey, out the coupe, hop out the roof when I run into you. Thoughts black as the dark side of the moon. Won't be no truce, won't be no truce. At your funeral in an all black suit. Couple white girls rocking all black too. Me and man marching on all black boots. Call up the troops, call up the troops. Punch you in the mouth, then knock out your tooth. I can tell when they not telling the truth. Talking that shit, nigga, what you gon' do? What you gon' do? What you gon' do? Back and I'm black and I'm acting brand new. Niggas in the back like, oh word. Diamonds all black like, fuck what you heard. Fuck what you heard. Fuck what you heard. Spilling some Hennessy black on the curb. Just for the memory of the deceased. When I black out, I've awakened the beast. What it's gon' be? What it's gon' be? You don't want fuck with a nigga like me. Bet you never seen motherfuckers so black. Nigga, I'm black on black on black on black on black. Black, black, black on black. Black, my thoughts so black. Black, black on black. My skin is so black. I'm rocking that black on black is black.
Black rims on this black, black wheels in this black, black wheel with this black bitch. Black, so black on black on black on black on
black. Black, black, black on black. Black, my thoughts so black. Black, black on black. My skin is so black. I'm rocking all black. Everything is black.
Black rims on this black, black wheels black, in this black, black wheel with this black bitch. Black, 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 black.
I feel like Trayvon with this black hoodie on. Huey P. Newton, black revolution. I'm with a Nubian queen and some illegal aliens. I got a black fist balled up and it ain't just me, it's all us. 400 years of oppression, I'm about to give me that black Tesla. Black skid marks on the pavement, cops wanna see me in a black cage. Black on black on black, Master Juba with the tap dance. Gucci with the dapper dance, tell him kiss my black ass. Riding on a dyno with the black mags. Just another black man trying to stay up out the cask. Yeah, black don't crack, matter of fact. Where the fuck are 40 acres at? We black on black on black on black on black. Black, black, black on black. Black, my thoughts so black. Black, black on black. My skin is so black. I'm rocking that black on black is black.
Black rims on this black, black wheels in this black, black wheel with this black bitch. Black, so black on black on black on black on
black. Black, black, black on black. Black, my thoughts so black. Black, black on black. My skin is so black. I'm rocking all black. Everything is black.
Black rims on this black, black wheels black, in this black, black wheel with this black, black bitch. Black, so black on black on black.
Yo. You hear with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8 in the morning. We're broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here on UBC's campus. And we got a full show for you today. I say that as I try to fix this technical difficulty I have. I cannot hear myself in the headphones. And if you have ever spoken to a microphone and trying to listen to yourself at the same time, it's difficult. I love being on the show. I love bringing you guys, you know, what's going on this week. I love bringing you some new music. And I love replaying songs because Buddy and A$AP Ferg, Black on Black, is my theme song. I feel like this summer I'm just going to try to get as black as possible. If you've never listened to the show before, what we do here is we like to talk about some local news. We like to talk about some national news. We like to talk about, you know, some global news, maybe some news from down south, because it feels like there is a forever soap opera. There's always something going on. We often like to have some guests. You know, sometimes some smart people, sometimes some comedians, sometimes you never know who will pop up. We just like to bring it to you and try to educate you as you're going through through the weekend. This is our last show during Women's History Month. And I'm just going to share a few facts, particularly after we get after our first music break. And you know, we like to start here going through the weather and talking to you about what's going on here in Vancouver. So I don't know why this weather is on Washington, D.C., but I looked at it yesterday. And so so today and tomorrow will be raining, but this weekend, if you're looking to do anything, this weekend is actually really, really nice. It's going to be highs of 11 both Saturday and Sunday and Friday, so you'll be able to get out and really like experience what spring has in store for you. Make sure you do that, because after Monday, it is supposed to rain from Tuesday until the following Tuesday, and even 2 days after that until Thursday. So it'll rain for the next 9 days after Monday. So get your weekend in. I am having some technical difficulty, but let's just get on into what's going on here in British Columbia, particularly in the news here. So as we talk about planning your springtime and planning your summertime, one of the things that needs to be accounted for, I feel that every year, particularly after last year and even slightly the year before, it just continues to get worse and worse, is forest fires. And so what you're going to start seeing is that in the interior, they're going to plan burn some fires as a way to create an environment that is less conducive to fire in the future, and like thinking later in the summertime. So hopefully what you start to see now is that you'll probably start to see some smoke, they said, but that will lead to less smoke in the future. And while I understand how this makes sense, I do understand how this makes sense, I'm not really sure it'll work. Not that I'm not sure it'll work, like I'm a scientist, or that, you know, that I went to school for forestry and understanding. I have just learned that these people, they're just experimenting. You know, they're scientists and they're just experimenting, just like anybody else who's tried to preemptively do anything. It's you hope for the best, but you never know. And so let's hope, because as we talk about how beautiful the summer here is in Vancouver, I felt that we were particularly robbed of the nicest days last year, as the smog and smoke covered the city for about 2 weeks in August. And I feel like it goes forgotten because we just have such good memories of what BC looks like in the summertime. So let's just hope that was a one-off and not a new norm. And so what we're going to see is just support your BC firemen and not just here in the Lower Mainland, but all over, and make some donations so that they can continue to not only do the good work that they've been doing, but train new people so we can have more people taking care of the fires. Because like I say all the time, the environment here is such a part of everyone's identity, and it's just such a part of everyone's identity that I feel that people should pay for it. If it's almost like makeup for some of the people's shallow personalities. So as we move on to some other things that are going on in the Lower Mainland. So I, you know, I get suckered in by any time I read an article that, an animal article that really crosses between humans and animals. Like, I care about animals. I really found out that I was really different yesterday when walking past a puppy or a small dog. I think it was a puppy. I don't know. And I just don't have it in me to want to pet it. I don't know what it is. Like, I grew up around dogs. I love dogs. I have found myself most recently fond of cats. And but when I see, like, a stranger's dog, I don't immediately want to pet it, and which is strange because that's what lots of people want to do. They, when they see a puppy, they just want to pet it. And so I think that, like, animals in general are interesting to me because I feel like that they should exist in their autonomy and just be able to, like, live their animal lives. And so when I read an article that comes on across with animals and humans, I really get intrigued. And so this one was talking about the bears and about how bears have the headline was bear cubs are staying longer with their moms. And so I was interested because it first off, it said, you know, these are the new millennial bears or something like that. And I'm not really tired of people calling my generation millennials, but the idea that everything is millennials' fault or basically anything that millennials do is bad, it just gets kind of old. It's like, all right, come on, guys. Find a new thing. And so even when you see this damn bear article and they're talking about millennials, you're like, what the hell? Leave us alone. But what they're talking about is that these bears in Norway are staying with their mother for until they're 2.5, when normally they leave when they're 1.5 years old. And they think it's due to a law that's been passed. Like, they think it's due to a law that's been passed where hunters are not allowed to kill bears with their family unit. And this is a change because they used to be allowed to kill with their family unit. So they believe that the bears have learned about this law through probably their JD and understood that if they can keep their cubs around longer, then it gives them a greater chance to survive. And this is a change because around 10 years ago, before the law changed, bears were expelling their cubs around 1.5 years because they were trying to basically have as many cubs as possible, as there was no law about killing bears with their family unit. It was only about killing the youngest bears. So they believe that the bears have adapted to the law and it's changed the behavior. Now, I really don't understand when they attach such human characteristics to the bear. I think we talked about this last week. How can they be for certain that these bears understand legislation? And if you believe that a bear understands legislation, why are we killing it? I don't understand. I think that if I had even an inkling that for that a animal, so like a bear or a fish, understood legislation, not just understood behavior and the behaviors of the hunters, like not killing them if they're with their cubs and then killing them if they're not with their cubs. Like, let's just say the bears could understand that. And if the bears could pick that up within like a few years, don't you think that bears should have like a little bit more rights in the ways that they are able to like live and, you know, be in their lives? Like, maybe they should have some property rights. Maybe they should be able to, you know, pay their taxes in salmon so that they can be left alone. I don't know, because I feel that there's men who don't understand. Like, there's years and years and years of persistence of like messaging on DM. Like, I have a friend who runs a Instagram account. It's called Disappointing Dudes, and where She just posts dudes who are just on it, who just say, hey, hey, beautiful. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, is your shoulder cold? Hey, do you not want to talk to me? What's going on? Hey, you seem like a nice woman. Please message me back. And so year after year after year after year, just so persistent. And if the Bears can learn faster than those dudes, aren't we giving rights to the wrong people? So something to think about as we move forward, particularly when we have these hunting season laws. So, like, you know, hunting is one of these big things where proponents of gun proponents of gun control use hunting. And so I feel like if we can prove that the Bears are, you know, actually pretty smart and sentient beings, then we should be able to at least establish a little bit of rights for them and take away some rights from some of these serial stalkers. When we get back, we're going to talk about how Vancouver plans to implement a nightmare. There's a parking scheme targeting Asian Canadians, and they should be wary. And how are baby boomers ruining the great outdoors? I think it's time to pile on the baby boomers because they're really what's messing it up for everybody. And so when we come back, we're going to get to some of that and more.
We guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosions.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
I got angels running away. I got demons hunting me. I know Pop with 25. I know Jesus 33. I tell death to keep a distance. I think he obsessed with me. I say God, that's a one. I know she would die for me. They want a barcode on my wrist to auction off the kids that don't fit that description of a utopia. Like a problem won't exist if I just don't exist. If I grew up without a single pot to piss and pardon me for venting. Congress got the nerve to call itself religious. Rich is getting richer. We just trying to live our life. Mama mixed the vodka with the Sprite. They killed my cousin with the pocket knife. From my uncle on the phone. He was gone for more than half my life. He got out a year and then he died. I was on the road talking to my father on the phone. Left the city when I was just four. None of them would get along. Mama begging him for when it goes. I was chilling with my niggas poop. Now they trying to take a
life. Don't mean shit to a nigga that ain't never had shit. Yeah, light don't mean lit. In the dark fight don't mean fish. Oh, ice don't see. Ice don't see. Ice don't freeze. Light don't leave. I don't mean light to me.
Tell me it'll be okay. Tell me happier days. Tell me that she might be. That I won't be alone. Tell him I'll be okay. When he asks, tell him my day.
Tell them that we the same. Tell them that we not safe.
I got my granddaddy's soul. I'm at war, that's on my mind. I see Walter body cold. Wish I could switch you with mine. I'm not worried about no rap shit. Distractions always the times. I still go to social functions even though I'm so anti.
No, I'm no Rihanna. The court gonna throw it like Donovan down a bit. I just been modeling my whole career as Pac was in studio monitor shaking. I raised the apartment to bond over profit. I made what I made and a lot to amount of time, the same amount of time you was watching. So stop comparing me to people, no, I am not them. A lot of people dreaming till they shit against sh. That's life. Mama mixing vodka with the Sprite. Kill my cousin with the pocket knife. Saw my uncle on the phone. He was gone for more than half my life. He got out a year and then he died. I was on a roll, talking to my father on the phone. Left the city when I was just born, and I didn't get along. Mama begging him for when it goes. I was chilling with my niggas poop. Now they trying to take his life.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Thank you. So, Vancouver, if you hadn't known, is not known for its city's nightlife, but we got a few things going on here. One of the things is continually on the minds of people here is always trying to make the nightlife safer, and not only safer like physically, but just make for a just better overall environment for everybody. And one of the solutions, not only that Vancouver has thought of, but what some of the other cities have implemented around the world, such as Paris and Amsterdam, and really some of the premier cities in the world, they have instituted what they would call a nightmare. So not like a nightmare, N-I-G-H-T-M-A-R-E, but a nightmare, like K-N-I-G-H-T-M-A-Y-O-R, like a guy on a horse, you know, maybe in a steel-plated chain mail. Kidding. No, but they believe that there should be a position where there's someone who manages, basically managing nighttime Vancouver versus daytime Vancouver, which is different than what Gregory Robertson does. And it makes sense. And some of the things that this individual who has made a living traveling all over the world to really relegate nightlives of cities. And he has made some suggestions for Vancouver and what some of the things that they can do to make their nightlife safer. And I think that they're pretty interesting. Also, I'm interested in where do you apply for the job to be the nightmare? I feel as if they're couldn't be a cooler name to put on a business card. I mean, a cooler job title put on a business card. Like, you know, I'm the mayor, but like, I'm not really the mayor. I'm not the mayor of the old, you know, crotchety, you know, people. I'm the mayor of the cool. I'm the cool mayor. I'm the nightmare. Some of the things that he wants to implement are like 24-hour bar licenses, which I thought was interesting, an interesting idea. But it's very simple. Like what the problems that it solves is that a lot of issues are caused, particularly fights or stabbings, or because that's what you have in Vancouver here. There's nothing really going on. Maybe a few stabbings, but what happens is, in any city, when the bars close, what happens is it's like a mass exodus into the street as everyone gets kicked out at around the same time, and people are, you know, drunk and bumping into people and driving drunk and leaving at the same time. So instead of having, you know, maybe one or two drunk drivers that you need to avoid, you have a ton of drunk drivers. And while we don't advocate drunk driving, we actually do not drink and drive. But the reality is that people are going to do those types of things. People are going to fight, and people are going to just be drunk in each other's space. And what a 24-hour license will do is it allows people to just leave when they're tired, and they don't have to feel the need to stay to the end. And so this is something I saw on daylight savings time, where we went back an hour or went forward. And what happens is that you see people just leave gradually as they feel that they can leave when the night is done. And by the end of the night, you don't have to kick every single person out at the same time. It just doesn't work like that. And, you know, it's an interesting concept and something that I feel like that Vancouver is not progressive enough to do. So I don't believe that this will be implemented, but I think it's an interesting, suggestion. Particularly, they want more street patrol, which I don't know how I feel about just seeing police officers patrolling the street, because they make me nervous. I never feel more safe with police officers. I do like them when they are close enough that you can call one and they'll be there close, but I don't want to just see them walking up and down the street. And I don't know why, but the Nightmare, I feel like name could be the Night King, because who doesn't like a little Game of Thrones reference in, you know, their civic, what would you call it? Somebody who works for you. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, it's interesting because, you know, it's taking care of the zombies, and I like to think of drunk people as zombies who are just out waiting to be eaten. And so we talked about how baby boomers are ruining the great outdoors, and one of the things that they're trying to do is bring their damn electronic bikes on to Crown Trail, so basically federal lands. And if you don't know about British Columbia or Vancouver or the area in the Lower Mainland, is that we are widely known as like one of the best places to mountain bike. And so this is not something that I take part in, but it looks fun from another vantage point. And so what it is people take their bikes off-road into back countries, and they go down hills pretty fast and over rocks and then bridges, I guess. I guess it's just like riding your bike in the city, but like with less obstacles, because I feel like cars, speed bumps, curbs, and people are obstacles enough for me to get all of my like exploration out on a bicycle. But so one of the things that they are that has been in the controversy is bringing electronic mountain bikes to these areas. And I feel strongly that if you can't, if you're not disabled and you can't take your mountain bike to your mountain bike without electricity to some of the places where you would like to mountain bike, I feel like it's fair to say that that's not a place where you should be mountain biking. And so, you know, the lack of motor in your mountain bike really is protecting yourself from not you just hurting yourself, but hurting other people. And if you feel like you need a mountain bike with a electric motor on it, stop being such a wimp and just buy a dirt bike and then go to the places where you can dirt bike, because that seems to make more sense. If you want a mountain bike, mountain bike. And if you want to do a dirt bike, dirt bike. Don't feel like you can do them both in the same place, you know, and call yourself a mountain biker where you have people thinking that, you know, you are working really hard and your legs are strong and you're carrying your bike up knowing that it is electric. I feel like that's something that baby boomers would do, you know, say that they have climbed this great big mountain, but, you know, failing to neglect all of the help that they had to get there. And then when they ask you why you haven't climbed the mountain, you say, well, you know, I can't afford a damn electric bike because I'm paying back all of my student loans because you have wrecked the economy. And it's 100% true. And if you're a baby boomer and you're listening to this show, because baby boomers are the only people who wake up before 8 o'clock, potentially only people who listen to community radio, and you like to tell me why I'm wrong about you and your people, you can call in at 604-822, that's 2487, that's 604-822-CITR. An interesting development is, you know, we don't have Uber here, and I had an idea for an all-female, an all-woman driving company, particularly because one of my concerns, particularly when riding in, when Uber or calling an Uber, when I lived in the place that had it, was like the horror stories that women tell me from getting in a cab or an Uber by themselves. And so I thought there was a great opportunity to just have a service. Well, maybe not even a service, but just have maybe like a widget within Uber that allowed women to call, you know, a woman driver and, you know, have them take her home, because they would feel more comfortable, and it lessens the risk for some of the cases that we hear. And this idea has been started in Vancouver Island, where a all-women taxi company has begun. If you'd like to learn more about the story, you can find it on the CBC's website or on Vancouver Sun. It's interesting because I feel that this is not just something that has happened within the taxi industry, but it feels like within any industry that has the ability to screen for gender and allow for more safe spaces for women, particularly, is being brought up. Like I saw a push for all women gynecologists. I saw a push for all women, just other business. And so these types of things, while you see some backlash from some men, it seems as if there's clearly a space for this. And if you are a free market capitalist, this is something that you shouldn't be against. But I think that it provides a really good safe space for women. And I think that it's a good idea. So if you'd like to learn more and you live on the island, you can find it on cbc.ca or Vancouver Sun. When we get back, we are going to talk about how a financial aid officer at Howard University has embezzled over millions of dollars, and how he's not backing down. But before we get into that, we're going to go over some stupid things that some U.S. politicians have said. When we get back, stay tuned.
I love the Lord of the Rings.
Great.
Yeah. I'm into obscure 1950s atomic monster movies.
Okay. Sure.
I really enjoyed the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
We can work with that. Here at the UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, we accept everyone. We have weekly movies, game nights, and the largest non-academic library at UBC. Come by our club room, 3206D in the Nest. It's a great place to eat lunch, hang out,
and procrastinate.
Check out our Facebook group, UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, to find out what's going on.
Still up in the ends, but being broken never been on her agenda. Montclair or Canada when she enter. Made her join the team, now she a member. Yeah, she's still up in the ends, but being broken never been on her agenda. Montclair or Canada when she enter. Made her join the team, now she a member. My granny said music don't pay, so granny had to go and put an Audi on my chains. I was doing missions in the rain, and now I'm steady pissing out Henny and champagne. Music is a money campaign. You get smoked for moving funny. I was bummy back day. And now I'm trying to make the checks pay. No more running through the gutter like my name was Max Payne. Take my girl shopping. Stream still popping. That means anything that she's grabbing, you know I'm copping. Savak straight dropping. Kill the beat coughing. Look inside my calendar, booking just like a buffin. And I'm still putting liquor in my lemonade. Romantic when I'm liquored, I'm a serenade. I ain't cuffing on these yatties, I'm a renegade. I'm picky with the pengas, I'm picking now that I'm getting paid. Yeah, she's still up in the ends, but being broken never been on her agenda. Montclair or Canada when she enter. Made her join the team, now she a member. Yeah, she's still up in the ends, but being broken never been on her agenda. Montclair or Canada when she enter. Made her join the team, now she a member.
This girl was trying to diss my fashion. This is DSQ and my bits are matching. I can't walk over on road, but this girl's a bad thing. And her pink gloss lips and my kicks are cashing. I put six on a petrol, I ain't got a car though. Couple man sent for me, never heard a bar though. I'm from West London where they ship the cargo. I'm a Royce on the left like my name was Marco. West End baby, trying to get the pounds in. Montclair coat costs a mountain, plus it's got a mountain. All up on the front of the jacket. I know man in tennis chains that'll swing round a racket. Beef on my back it, two man will pack it. I told man I'm quarterback already, let me sack it. Me, I got this aura that these other rappers slacking. Your lips and up a rippers, I snap her and blow her back it. Yeah, she's still up in the ends, but being broken, never been on her agenda. Montclair or Canada when she enter.
You back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And like I said before we went on the last break, I said that I would talk about some of this fraud that has been going on in Richmond, particularly towards targeting Asian Canadians. And I think that is important because if there's Asian Canadians who are listening to this show, there has been several, like over five in the past month, where people are jumping out and like as people are backing out, jumping in front and saying they hit them and trying to get them to settle without involving ICBC. And so not only they're using like their cars or their carts or like their bodies. And I think that is interesting. One, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we can probably all guess why they're targeting Asian Canadians in Richmond, which is probably because they feel that, you know, they probably do not want to get ICBC involved or get the police involved. It's probably like a big language barrier. And they think that Asian people are all rich here. Now, I don't know if I would say that Asian people are not all rich here. But I do know that, like, there is a idea to not involve law enforcement, particularly with lots of minorities when it comes to these types of cases. And so if you are a victim of one of these scammers, then you should be wary that you should just be wary, and you should always call ICBC if there's an accident, and you should always call the police, because just a way to protect yourself. This is something that I learned myself. So if you're listening here or you're listening abroad, you're listening, you know, in the States, anywhere, if you get an accident and it's not your fault and you really believe it's not your fault, you should call the police. And if it is not your fault and if it is your fault, well, you just have to hope that they don't call the police. So one of the biggest stories that I didn't want to miss, but I wanted to get back to, but sometimes here, particularly in the second half of the show, there's just so much to fit in because there's so many things as we want to learn about going through the weekend that I miss. And so there was this week a RCMP officer who pled guilty to sexual assault and sexual like molestation of a underage teenager. And so I feel like as we continue to see like I feel like it stems from the States where, you know, where we talk about the police misconduct and what some of the things that the police are doing and what are some of the things that the police are getting away with. We begin to see that all over. And in Canada, we don't, particularly in Vancouver, we don't really see cases where police officers are shooting and killing unarmed individuals. People are generally unarmed here because guns are not really a thing. So it's not as you don't really see it as much. While it does do happen, we had a few weeks ago in the plains, in the, you know, in the interior, a First Nations man was killed by another civilian and he was acquitted. But this case is a little different as it involves a RCMP officer whose job it was for over three decades to protect women as they come out of prostitution or sex work. And like a counter sex trafficking officer was engaged in sexual assault with a prostitute who was under 18. And when you think of like sick crimes and crimes that you believe that you wouldn't get away with, you would think that this officer, you know, would have thought twice about that, which makes me believe that it probably wasn't the first time that he had, I wouldn't say even say made this mistake, but had, you know, had committed to this action. And if this is the first time he's done it, and this is the first time he got caught, and he's going to be sentenced later this month, you think that maybe there's some other officer that do that, or, you know, who's overlooking these type of processes? And how are we supposed to expect these people to keep us safe, or to keep, you know, to maintain like their roles and their job, particularly someone who's been in law enforcement for so long, someone who's just given this level of trust, to just ruin it for us? And so when you get tired of hearing like about bad apples, particularly in police departments, where, you know, it's just a few, I'm always confused about how come these types of people are never expelled by their peers, which is what I would like to see. It would give me more faith in the police department if you saw their peers, you know, begin to out these people instead of, you know, these legal proceedings, which basically come after there has been a complaint or a something filed from a victim. And it goes into showing like, what are some of the other gross negligence that is going on within these police departments and within these other government institutions. And what we saw yesterday, before we get into some of the silly things that you know, some politicians have said recently, we really want to get into, I don't know if you know this song, but it's by Erykah Badu. And so if you are familiar with Howard University is a historically black college and university in Washington, D.C., near my hometown. And it is known for administrative oversight. And when I say administrative oversight, there's always something going on. The registrar's office always takes a long time. I know this not personally because I didn't go there, but from what my family who has attended, and while they love Howard University, they love the yard, they love the people who make up Howard University. If you've ever read Ta-Nehisi Coates, he talks about just the beauty of Howard University and the like diversity within blackness that lives there. It's just all types of different black people. Like, I find it very fascinating when people come up to me and they talk about black people as if there's this monolith, you know, as if there's not like black anime fans and black skaters and black athletes and jocks and black frat boys and, you know, sorority girls. And so there's so many different types of people. And there's scammers as well. And so if you're on Twitter or you're on any social media, what you would have learned is that there's a student named Tyrone Hankerson who by himself schemed over $600,000 from the financial aid office. And so when you look at him, an individual, you say, wow, I can't believe this guy got away with $600,000 over 7 years and was just living his life while his fellow students are being sent home because they can't afford school. But then you see that the larger picture, because there was five people who were fired, there's people who are above him, administrators, and, you know, he's just a on work study. So it's not, you know, he doesn't have the final say. And so you see that this is not just a issue within within one individual finding a way to scheme. This is a systemic issue. And not just, I think it would be wrong to just assume that this was just happening at Howard University. This is probably something that goes on at all universities where people have access to grants and financial funding without a proper oversight. Because when you think about how much money goes into school, like the billions and trillions of dollars of everybody in between all of the schools in North America and all over the world. There's just too much money to be accounted for. But Tyrone didn't have to stunt on it. So if you want to go on the internet and you want to see, you know, the mink coat he is wearing or him sailing through the Mediterranean or like just like living the life that every college student would want to live, like every break, you're just going to anywhere you can think about. And then if you read his letter, you know, he seems very confident that he's not going to go to jail. So, you know, more power to Tyrone. It's not like, you know, he didn't steal my money. So I feel as if I, you know, am not being like empathetic to the people who weren't able to attend, you know, a higher education or come back or finish the semester because there wasn't enough grant money, you know, but they needed just a few thousand. And Tyrone's like, you know, I need a few thousand too because I got Coachella tickets and I am not willing to downgrade to general admission. I need the VIP, you know, and, you know, you just have to respect that. So as we get into some of the silly things that some of the GOP members have said, because while there are silly things that Democrats say, it always seems to come up and bubble up where you're like, what the hell was that about? Rick Santorum, if you don't know who Rick Santorum is, he's an idiot. And he's also a senator. And he's also a senator. Well, was a senator. And what we've seen recently is just the gun control debate where it's being led by teenagers, particularly teenagers affected by these Parkland, by the latest mass shooting. And I wouldn't even say the latest mass shooting, like the last huge mass shooting, because there's been subsequent ones afterwards. And what you've seen is politicians continually attack these kids for their stances, saying that they don't know what they're talking about. They need to find something else. Or Rick Santorum said on Tuesday, where he said that, how about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about it. Maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with situations that when there is a violent shooter that you can actually respond to that. And so basically Rick Santorum is telling kids that if they want to survive a mass shooting, maybe they should learn some CPR. I mean, and I feel like it doesn't take a scientist to know that that's not like a good idea. Not even a good idea. It just doesn't seem like it will work because, listen, I've never been shot before, but I feel like CPR isn't what I would like to do. I wouldn't want someone with me who knows how to do CPR to prevent me from getting shot. Like maybe afterwards, and maybe if that person is bulletproof, you know, that might be beneficial to me and my survival in the long term. But when it comes to a mass shooting, I don't know how that's going to help. I don't know how the CPR skills are going to help. What we've also saw is that Ben Carson compared the election to WWE Raw. Now, the most surprising part about that is that Ben Carson is a WWE Raw fan. I feel like he's more of a WCW guy because I just feel like he seems like he would be part of the NWO, like the Wolfpack. And so, like, while I believe that, who liked the Wolfpack when they came around? It was just like, you know, Hulk Hogan and Kevin, like Hulk Hogan, like post prime Hulk Hogan, like after he was Hollywood Hogan, you know, he came in to be a heel. And then so I feel like Ben Carson would, you know, be more a WCW fan. Like he's kind of like a second rate kind of guy, not WWE. And his analogy was wrong because it just didn't seem like that. I wish it would have been like that. We talked about how Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you know, were flapping their gums about some, you know, potential fisticuffs last week. And if we would see, I don't know if I would rather see Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a wrestling match Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a boxing match or Donald Trump and Joe Biden in the octagon. Like, I feel as if we could probably go fund me enough money to maybe make it happen, like on celebrity boxing. I feel like Donald Trump has probably been on celebrity boxing before. I never watched the show, but like before he was a presidential candidate, that's what he was. He was a reality TV guy. Like, why wouldn't he have gone in there? It would be nice to see that. Also, in the this is just within the past 3 days. The EPA from the top down leadership has started to tell their employees that they need to downplay the human effect on climate change. And this is something that I have been thinking about recently because I listened to the History of Rome and History in Byzantium podcast. You know, not to pat myself on the back for being like such a good nerd, you know, like that, just like understanding history. But one of the interesting things that I learned from there is that that the desert in North Africa has been getting larger and larger and larger, and over the past thousands of years has changed completely to what we have seen it today. And even those people in the 6th century understood how their farming had affected the lands to the point where it drove them to be deserts. And they understood that their farming had an effect on the composition of the land. And so 1500 years ago, people were having this conversation about climate change already and human effect. And so when we fast forward to 2018, where the Environmental Protection Agency is continually trying to deny climate change and the human effects. And these are some of the reasons why I lack hope and I lack faith in humans and our ability to survive in the long term. Like when we think about like human civilization, you know, in the past 2,000 years, yeah, we've lasted 2,000 years, we've grown, we've expanded, you know, we can go to the moon now. But when you think about 2,000 years and just really when you like extrapolate it to the history of like the earth, of what we know it, you're like, wow, that's a really short time. I can't believe we're going to go from no civilization to the end of civilization, you know, in basically like a blink of the earth's what do you call that? Like life? Or the blink of an Earth's time, like, you know, a few millennia. It's sad. It's really sad to think that, you know, the potential that we had as a populace, as a species, and how we've just let it go to waste because we didn't want to fight hard enough. So going to the last thing that a politician, I don't even know if he's a politician, but he's Donald Trump Jr. And so if you don't know, Donald Trump Jr. is getting a divorce, which I don't really think is very newsworthy because I don't actually know what this guy does for a job. All I know is he comes to British Columbia occasionally to shoot some animals. And, you know, it's making me want to maybe take up some hunting lessons from Dick Cheney. And if you don't know what that means, you should Google Dick Cheney hunting. You'll find something interesting, and then you'll be able to make those connections and understand why I might want to take lessons from Dick Cheney and then maybe go up north and go hunting. And so if you didn't know, he was getting a divorce. That's because he has had an alleged affair with Aubrey O'Day. And so he told Aubrey O'Day that he wanted to put a baby in her, and I'm not going to say that's the stupidest thing that a GOP person's ever said, because I've seen Audrey O'Day and I've seen Donald Trump Jr.'s wife. And I mean, he's rich, he's a billionaire. Like, of course he's going to want to put a baby in her. But I feel like it makes a huge difference whether he said, I want to have a baby with you, but I have a wife. Or if it's like, God damn, you look so good, I want to put a baby in you. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's different. And I feel like he said the former, not the latter. But I can only imagine if he said the latter, I would have just like a teeny tiny bit more respect for Donald Trump Jr. And if you over the weekend, if you watched the Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes, you would understand that these people who have touted this moral superiority, Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. have talked about how they have never used drugs in their life, seemingly are addicted to the other white. And if you are addicted to the white as well, you should know that cocaine is being cut with fentanyl. And if you want to stay safe, you should probably, one, not do cocaine in bathrooms before you test it, and two, just be safe. I saw an article, I listened to this article on NPR, where this woman talked about how her son had died from a fentanyl overdose, and she was really worried about him because he wasn't addicted to heroin, but he used crack cocaine, and she said that she thought, she never imagined that his occasional crack cocaine use would kill him. And like, first I was going to leave this alone. I didn't want to like jump on this story because I feel sympathetic for his mom, because no one wants their kid to die, particularly like when you know that you're a family member, your kid, I couldn't imagine a kid, but you know, just knowing that your family member is addicted to something that you know that could potentially kill them or is harmful to them, you don't really want to be so in their face about like, trying to get them to stop, because you know that they're just going to end up pushing you away and continuing to get closer and closer to the substance. So, but I feel like to say on the radio, that you never imagine that your son's occasional crack cocaine use would kill him is kind of ridiculous, because I don't know anybody in my family who does crack cocaine, but if I feel that if they were occasional crack users, my first concern is that it's going to kill him. Like, I don't know, maybe not directly, I don't know how crack works, but I feel like indirectly the crack is going to get them eventually, and that's what I'm really worried about. As we move into the last few minutes of the show, one of the things that I really, I'm really fascinated is like, you know, as we begin to get into like a more digitalized society. And so as we talked about Facebook last week, being able to track all of your data, and Google tracking all your data, basically your data is out there, like everything you do on a computer. You used to worry about just your keystrokes, but it's just everything is being tracked. When are we going to start seeing some more Bond type hacker villains? And what we've seen in the past 6 days is that Atlanta has been under attack from a hack. I just wanted to say that. No, but it's been under attack from a hacker who has taken control of the government websites and really limited the government's ability to collect and issue payments and invoices. And so what that's doing is it's losing the government money every single day. And the hacker demands to be paid $51,000 in Bitcoin, which I feel like is kind of like a low amount for a hacker. But I feel that, if he feels he can get away with it, he's going to set the new precedent that, hey, hacking, you don't have to go for the big bucks, Tyrone. You don't have to go for, $600,000. You can just take $50,000 clip here and there from, different cities and, continue to live your life normally. And it's interesting because if this guy is successful in Atlanta, what does that say about like, the future of crime, particularly as it comes to like individuals? So as hackers are getting like more sophisticated and like more and more people are like learning how to do it. If you know how to hack and you want to teach somebody, you can call into the show and I'm open for lessons at all times. I feel like that's a good skill, hacking. I feel like that would be probably a good skill to learn. What is it, how is it going to affect individuals? So we can see how it has affected celebrities that sometimes, with releasing of their nudes or a dick pic.